All right, so we're talking about being in Christ. I'm just going to move this out of the way. Is that all right? Is that all right? I mean, come on, guys. Yeah, thank you, Ronel. Thank you, Ronizzle. All right. We're talking about being in Christ. If you guys will, turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, last time I was on here, I believe it was 3 weeks ago, like I had said, but I don't know. I'm really bad with dates. We went through verse 1 through verse 16. And in review, we found 4 points within those 16 verses. Number one, we found out that there is no condemnation in Christ. Now, we're talking about being in Christ. Now, when you live a life in Christ, you have a life of no condemnation. Now, just real quickly, talking about the subject of being in Christ, like I said last time I came up here, we have an option every day. Some of you guys remember this? Every day you wake up, the moment you open your eyes, you have an option. You make that option unknowingly most of the time. You make that decision unwittingly. You just kind of go about your business and do your thing. But every single day of your life, every breath you breathe, you know, that doesn't mean that you just have a decision or an option when you wake up. You can change that decision 5 minutes into being awake. You can change that decision halfway through your day. But you have a decision. You're faced with a decision every moment, every breath. That is one, to live in Christ. Or that is two, to live without Christ, to live your own way. And you guys know what I'm talking about? Some days, like I had said, we wake up and we decide to live in Christ. I feel great. You know, I feel spirit-filled. I feel like, oh yeah, man, I'm powered. God's in me. I feel like I could take on the world. And some days it's like, man, I forgot I was a Christian that day. Is anybody else with me? Right? You know, sometimes you could be living great, having a wonderful day, living in Christ. Boom, get on the freeway, drive home, and all of a sudden, Christ is gone, man. I don't know. We just decided to change our mind, right? That guy cut us off. Man, some guy cut me off today on a Porsche. Oh, first of all, he cut me off. Second of all, he was driving a Porsche. I mean, come on, right? I got a decision. I can live in Christ, or I can start thinking other things and live in my own flesh. Here, Paul is talking to the Roman church. He's saying, listen, if you live in Christ, if you make that decision to live in Christ, number one, there is going to be no condemnation. You got no guilt. Why? Because you're living in Christ. Number two, there's freedom. You know, back in the day, there was this big old law that said you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you couldn't eat this, you couldn't eat that. You had to do this. If you sinned, you had to do this. You had to sacrifice a lamb, you know, do all this other stuff. You had to like come to church on this one certain day and you had to give all your stuff to, you know what? But then all of a sudden Jesus comes in and he says, listen, now I am the law. So if we decide to live in Christ, we are free from that law. We are free from the law. They call it of sin and death. The law that says, you know what? Every man was born with a sin nature because Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the good of the knowledge of good and evil. Are you guys with me? All of a sudden, man has this law that they live by. That's why the world is in chaos. That's why everything is bad. That's why there's more rated R movies than PG movies now. Because we live in a world of law of sin and death. But all of a sudden, when we live in Christ, we decide to not live. We decide that there's freedom. There's freedom from the law of sin and death. And then there's life, which brings us to point number three. If you decide to live in Christ, you have life. How many of you guys know that sometimes we wake up in the morning, we decide, you know what? I'm going to live a dead life today, man. Oh, dude, I'm in pain. You know, my girlfriend dumped me. I got fired. My boss doesn't like me. You know, whatever the issue is, we can live in death. Or we can live in life, right? We can beat ourselves up. We can live in a downer. We can be depressed. We can be out and about. Or we can decide, you know what? In Christ, I'm a new creation, like Joey was saying, and I have life. Doesn't matter what's going on around me because Jesus Christ says I'm life. And number four, verse number 16 says that the Spirit himself bears assurance. You know what that means? That when we're unsure of things, you know, when we're standing in faith, God comes and he says, listen, man, I got your back. I'm with you today. You're a son of God. I'm going to assure you. I'm going to give you that assurance. And you know, he says that we are heirs. We are joint heirs with Christ. You know what that means? That means we have all the abilities that Christ has. That means we got power in Jesus' name. That means that we got love in Jesus' name. That means that we can continue to do the things of God every day in and out because the Spirit himself bears assurance. So now that's just a quick recap. I really get into it. So if you haven't heard it, I encourage you to go on shifthappensfriday.com and listen to the as the website pops up and then go to the podcast section. What's that? And check out last week's message. So listen, we're going to continue on in Romans the 8th chapter. We're talking about living in Christ or in Christ. Number one, today, suffering turns to glory. When we live in Christ, suffering turns to glory. Now, if you look with me in verse number 18. It says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now listen, guys. How many of you know that as Christians, we are called to a life of suffering, right? Jesus tells us to pick up our cross and walk with him, right? To bear our cross, right? So as Christians, it is our calling to endure suffering. You know, we get into this Christianity, sometimes we think, oh man, it's a cakewalk. God loves us. God's got his power. Everything's great. But how many of you guys know that that's not the case always? Life happens, right? Are you guys with me tonight? Life happens. Now, you had heard Joey a couple weeks before I preached talking about persecution, suffering, and he was talking about, you know, how his soccer team kind of excluded him, and he used me as an example about how on my hockey team that I was playing, that I was kind of like the black sheep because I was the one that didn't go out and get drunk. I was the one that didn't cuss. I was the one that just kind of like, I stayed quiet. You know, I lost it one time on a referee. That was a moment where I wasn't living in Christ, but, you know, all of a sudden, you kind of start to suffer that. All of a sudden, people say there's something different about you. One, I like that, or two, I don't want anything to do with that. Have any of you guys with me tonight? Have any of you guys experienced that tonight? We are called as Christians to suffer with Christ. Now, that's good news and that's bad news. One, that's good news because, you know, how many of you guys have heard that term, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger, right? Yeah. I think that's even like a popular rap song or something like that, right? Whatever, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger, right? When we suffer, when we come against those persecutions, when we come against that buffet of Christ or a buffet from Satan, when we come against those trials and those tribulations, those hard times, you know, death in the family, lost my job, lost my girlfriend, lost my money, lost my car, whatever you lost, whatever it is, we lose something every day. When we come against that kind of stuff, that stuff builds us up because one, we know now, looking at Romans, the 8th chapter, verse number 18, that the suffering of the present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Listen, what you're going through, you might think, oh, dude, how am I going to get through today? How am I going to get through this situation? Oh, my gosh, I don't think it could get any worse. How many times have we thought, and I'm going to be honest, how many times have we thought, man, there is nothing better for me but death. Oh, how if I could just die, that would be it. It would be over. That'd be the easy route. But how many times have we seen that all of a sudden we look back in our life and say, you know what? Years down the road, man, that wasn't so bad. All right? That wasn't too bad. You know, I look back at that now and it's like, you know, when I was in college, when I was at Bible college, you know, I got this ticket for speeding. I was going 51 in a school zone. Now, I wasn't doing this deliberately, I promise, okay? It was our first day in this house. The speed limit normally was 45, so I thought I'd push it by going 6 over the grace period, right? Unbeknownst to me that there was this like 4,000 student high school that was like this monster turf stadium. I just wasn't paying attention. So I'm driving through the school zone. Boom, I get tagged 51 in a school zone. So, you know, you go 50 in a school zone, that's bad. You go 1 mile over, that's more than double the speed limit. So the cop's like, dude, you're going to go to jail. You know, I'm going to court. I'm late to my court because I go to the wrong courthouse. So then I go to court and I look at the docket and my name's on there. It says warrant issued for arrest. So I'm like freaking out, go to the court. You know, the judge yells at me for being late. The district attorney says, I'm going to throw you in jail for 10 days. I get probation for 30 days. I get my license suspended. I go back to court. My probation officer didn't turn in all my probation information. So the judge is like, dude, I don't got any proof that you did any of stuff you're supposed to do. I'm like freaking out. I mean, Joey can attest. I'm like literally like, this is my chance to get out of this stinking heck hole. All right, I'm not going to say it. And go home to California. All right, this is horrible. Just let them find out that I got probation while I'm in Bible college. And they're going to kick me out. You know, my life is over. I didn't get accepted to any schools at home. This sucks. Blah, 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 blah. Right? And I look back and I'm like, man, that wasn't nothing. It really wasn't anything that big. All right? I mean, it was like an hour and a half in court, 2 days in traffic school, and you know what, my whole ordeal. But at that time, I mean, literally there was no issue bigger in my life. I mean, you know, it was just big. But all of a sudden we look at this and we say, listen, the stuff that we're going through is not even comparable. Paul says that whatever you're going through, however big that problem is, it's not even comparable to the glory that you're going to face when you come into Christ. When Christ comes and he reveals himself to us, it's not even in the same ballpark. We're talking, it's not even the same sport, all right? We're not even in the same categories. So you can look at that issue you're going through today, and you know, you can say, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I'm here to tell you tonight, guys, that you hold on tight. You look through that tunnel, you grab a hold to the ride, and you trust in God, and you understand that, listen, whatever I'm going going through tonight, I'm going to get through because Christ is going to come. Christ in me says that the suffering that I'm going through today is not even comparable to the glory that we're going to get. So you think you've got big problems? Yeah, that's right. You think you've got big problems? That just means you got a bigger glory coming. So you hold on. You understand that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You guys with me tonight? All right. I'm preaching myself happy. I'm liking it. Where'd my notes go? Where'd my notes go? All right. Number two. I'm going to read a bunch of verses. They're kind of confusing, so I'll probably refer to them in the New Living Translation just because I'm reading out of the New King James, and sometimes it's a little bit older English. Verse number 19, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. That's what we're talking about when that glory comes, when Christ comes and he reveals himself to us and we become the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him, capital H, him, God, who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse number 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Everything is saying, oh, the whole world is groaning, saying, God, come back. Jesus, come fulfill it in your, fulfill your life in us. Jesus, come and restore the world to us. Verse number 23, not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption, the redemption of our body. Verse number 24, for we were saved in this hope. Number two tonight, guys, there is hope in Christ. You know, you might be saying, you know, I got that issue, whatever, I got glory, whatever. You know, I can stand and I can hold on to that. You know, but you might be living your life and saying, I don't know what's going to go on tomorrow. You know, my issue isn't just, you know, some little small thing. My issue is to the point where I don't know what's going to happen in my life tomorrow. I don't know how I can keep going. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. I don't know what God's plan is for my life. I don't know what God wants for me. You know, I got this girl. She don't like me. I got this boyfriend. He don't like me, right? There's all these different issues that we as young adults face. I got this career coming up, and I can't find a job. I don't know how I'm going to keep going. You know what? The Bible says that there is hope. Now, I'm going to continue reading verse number 24. Hope is not seen, for we were saved in this hope, but hope is not seen. Hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Verse number 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait with perseverance. Let me tell you something, guys. We hope for what we do not see. When you know what you want, when you've seen what you want, I want what that guy has. That's not hope. That's desire. I want what they have. Oh, I want that new toy. I want that car. Oh, Lord, I'm hoping for a Subaru STI. Oh, man, 400 horsepower. Oh, dude, cold air injection. You know, it's going to go as I no, that's desire. That's want. Hope is what we don't see. When we hope for something that we don't see, the Bible says that we eagerly await it. What do we not see? Have you seen Christ? Have you? Have you seen Christ physically? Have you seen the redemption of the Lord? Has Christ come back? Has the church been raptured out of here? Has, you know, have you seen your family's life changed yet? Are these the things that you've seen, or are these the things that you're hoping for? Are these the things, have you seen that new job you've got? Are you that job you're believing for? No, you haven't seen it. Why? Because you don't have it, right? You don't have it. You haven't seen it yet. You're hoping for the things that you haven't seen. The things that you've seen, the toys, the trinkets, whatever it be, that girl down the street, all right? That's desire. That's want. Mark said wife. Now I'm going to get a little technical, all right? You could see a girl or you could see a guy and you could want that guy. But you haven't seen, if you aren't married yet, you haven't seen your husband yet. You haven't seen your wife yet because God has placed that husband. God has placed that person in your life, or they will move that person into your life. And as you get there, as you guys come together, you form a God bond. Now all of a sudden your eyes are open, man. When I got married, it was different, all right? That's a little rabbit trail. We were saved in this hope. I got another verse. You know, Hebrews 11, 1. It's a very famous, familiar verse. I mean, you guys know what this verse says. For faith is the substance of things, what? Unseen. Hope for. Ah! Faith is the evidence, is the substance for things hoped for. It is the evidence of what? Things not seen. Good way to mess that up, Luke. Faith is what? The substance of things, what it hoped for, right? What are we talking about in Christ? There's hope in Christ. It's the evidence of things what? It's the evidence of things what? Not seen. faith isn't the things that we've seen. Listen, we walk this walk of Christianity and faith. Every day you wake up, you make a faith decision that you're going to serve God, right? It's a decision you've made in faith. Because you haven't got through the day yet, right? You don't know what's coming at you. You don't know at work that person is going to call in and complain. You don't know at school that test question. You don't know at, you know, driving on the freeway that dude in the Porsche, right? Because that's a faith walk. You haven't made that decision yet. It is the substance for things hoped for. It is the evidence of things unseen. Guys, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you live your life in Christ, you have hope. All right? Number three. Verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit in our weakness also helps in our weakness. Now I'm going to show you something. There's a logical break right here. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. Period. Okay? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We're going to get into verse 26, that second half, in a second, but I want to focus on that first part, the grammatical break. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. I have this in the New Living Translation, I believe. Let me find it. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what to pray, what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Number three tonight, there is strength in Christ. We talked tonight about the fact that there is, what is point number one? I don't remember now. Jeez. There is suffering turns to glory, right? In Christ, suffering turns to glory. Number two tonight, we found out that there is hope in Christ. Number three tonight, there is strength in Christ. The Holy Spirit, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. Let me tell you something. We get through this day, we don't know what we're doing sometimes, right? Sometimes, like I've been saying all night long, maybe I'm preaching to some of you tonight because it keeps coming back in me. I don't know how I'm going to get through today. I don't know how I'm going to finish this. I don't know how I'm going to get through school. I don't know how I can work with that guy. My boss hates me. I don't know how I can do it. I don't know how I'm going to put gas in my car. I don't know how I'm going to change the flat tire. I don't know how I'm going to fix my bike to ride to work. I don't know how, whatever, right? All of a sudden, we got all these weaknesses. We got all these shortcomings in life. You know what? Man, I'm going to live for God. God, I'm going to live for you today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boom. We mess up, right? Am I the only one that's like that? All right. You know, it could be an instantaneous mess up. Sometimes I was saying, you know, we mess up daily. We sin. We mess up minutely, hourly, secondly, right? Over and over and over again. Our flesh comes in. Our natural desire to do what everybody else in this world does steps in, right? That's our flesh. That's our weakness. But God says, listen, the Spirit comes in and He helps in our weaknesses. Where we're weak, when we put in the natural, we can only do things by the natural. But we put in the natural, we trust in God to bring in that super, and all of a sudden we can do things that are supernatural in Christ. Are you guys with me tonight? Thank you. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, you don't got to turn there. I've preached about this before. Paul is talking about the thorn in the flesh. He's talking about how he's got this thing. He doesn't mention exactly what it is, but he's saying it's been buffeting him. Buffeting means it's like a wave coming on a rock. It's like a river hitting on a river stone. It just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. How many of you guys have ever been buffeted by something? Buffeted by your older sister, right? Buffeted by your job. Buffeted by whatever. Buffeted by that guy who sits next to you. Buffeted by, you know, how many of you guys have been there before, right? He's got this thing, he's buffeting him. Just boom, boom, boom. So he says, you know, I pray to God three times. God, take it away from me. God, take it away from me. God, take it away from me. All of a sudden, Jesus comes and he reveals that this is Jesus speaking because the words of Christ are in red. And he says, in verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Listen, guys, when something comes against us, when the trials and tests of this world come against us, when we're buffeted, when we're beat up, when we're tossed around, when we're kicked around, you know what? That's our weakness. That's our flesh. That's as much as we can do, right? I can't go any further. But then all of a sudden, God says, listen, in your weakness and your mess ups, in your trials and in your tribulations, my power steps in. And it's made what? It's made perfect. Right? It's not made cool. It's not made looking good. It's not made like quasi-perfect, right? My power is made perfect. God comes and he says, listen, I shine in your weakness. Because why? Now all of a sudden we can say, listen, God, I can't do it, but you can. Your power can come into my life and you can step in and you can take control of this situation. You can grab a hold of me. You can pull me out of this mess that I'm in. You can hold my heart in your hands, Father. You can heal the pain. You can heal the scars, the damage, God, the hurts that have been caused by the past issues. All of a sudden we come in and we're damaged. We're broken. And God says, that's when I shine. That's when I'm made weakest. That's when your weakness makes me look strong. The Spirit comes in and he helps us in our weakness tonight, guys. You can rest assured that if you're messing up, if you're looking down, if you keep stumbling, don't stop, first of all right? Try to stop. I'm not going to say you can't stop, all right? You got to turn around. You got to repent. But you can understand that, listen, I'm weak. God comes in. He steps in, and he makes me strong. Paul says after that verse, that doesn't on the overhead, I'll just paraphrase it for you. He says, I'd rather boast in my infirmities than try to be strong on my own, because now I know that I am an imperfect being. I got issues. I got drama. I got weakness. And now all of a sudden God steps in and he says, my power is made strong. So you know what? I'm going to rejoice in the fact that something comes and buffets me. I'm going to rejoice when that suffering comes because God shows up then. Are you guys with me tonight? That kind of ties back into point number one now, doesn't it? Because the sufferings that we endure aren't anything compared to the glory. So, you know, it all kind of applies to each other. That's why this Romans 8 chapters is like, I mean, he's writing this, but this is the inspiration of God. And all of a sudden it's just like, boom, right? It slaps you in the face. You're reading it, just hits you in the face. Boom. All right, I'm moving on. Number four tonight. Where's my notes? Continuing on in Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 26 and 27. This one, I just love, guys. God is on our side. In Christ, God is on our side. What else do I got to say? Do I need to point to follow up on that? When we are in Christ, God is on our side. Yeah, that's right. I'm banging my Bible and I'm waking you up. This is something, if you take anything home tonight, take this home. When you live in Christ, God is on your side. Verse number 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. We just went over that. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Let me tell you something, guys. The Spirit himself, God himself, makes intercession for us. Holy cow. All right? Do you guys pray a lot? Some yes, some no. All right. Sometimes I don't know. Maybe I don't pray as much as I should, right? How many of you guys have ever prayed for somebody else? You know, my brother's sick. I'm going to believe for his healing, right? Or, you know, so-and-so's going through something. I'm going to believe for, you know, their redemption. Or I'm going to believe that it comes through, you know, whatever it is, right? That's making intercession when you believe for somebody else for something, right? The Spirit himself. Now, he doesn't say the Spirit. He says the Spirit himself. I mean, that's like saying like Babe Ruth himself, right? Hits home runs, all right? The Spirit himself makes intercession. God prays for you. Dude. God prays for you, all right? You might have your friend praying for you. Cool. All right, yeah. You might have the pastor praying for you if you fill out the prayer card. All right. Boom, I got some power. Right? No. God prays for you. The Spirit himself makes intercession for you. Verse number 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now that's kind of confusing English. I read that a couple times. I kind of understood it, but I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation for you because it makes it a little easier to understand. And the Father, this is the New Living Translation. The Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believer, in harmony with God's own will. You got God on your side. I mean, come on, right? If anything, that's a reason for us to strut our feathers a little higher, right? To get that like G-walk in our step, right? Boom, what's up, man? What's up? All right, you know, I got that gangster walk, right? Because nothing's going to touch me. Why? Because we got God on our side. When we live in Christ, boom, boom, God is on your side. I mean, honestly, honestly, do you realize how big that is? Do you realize how big that is? That's why if I say, if you take anything home tonight, understand that when I live in Christ, when I wake up that morning and I decide that I'm going to walk in Christ, I'm going to live my life in Christ, I know that God has got my back. Amen. Right? Whatever comes against me, whatever that issue is, whatever that trial is, I can have hope because I know what? God's got my back. I have life because why? God's got my back. I have no condemnation because why? Because God's got my back. I got assurance. Why? Because God's got my back. You can rest assured that God has got your back. I'm going to close tonight by quoting a verse that we're actually going to get to next week. And this is why I really want you guys to just kind of chew on this as I say it. I might say it a couple times. I don't want to get too far. But verse 31. So we're just rolling down 8th chapter, verse 31. If you got your Bibles open, you can read along with it. This is where this Romans, the 8th chapter, is just a powerhouse. What was that point? God is on our side, right? God is on our side. 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Dude. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. If God is for us, who can be against us? Right? Who can be against us? Can it be the job? Can it be the boss? Can it be the teacher? Can it be the coworkers? Can it be the financial problems? Can it be the credit card debt? Can it be the house repossessions? Can it be the banks calling? Can it be the flat tire, the no gas, the gas money? Nothing can be against us. Why? Because if God is on our side, who can be against us? If you got something out of tonight, give the Lord a praise.